Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David L. Johnston.
That has been our subject, how to live without being deceived. And last week was part one, and this was to be the conclusion. I've got bad news. I cannot, well, it's good news. I cannot finish it today. So I'm going to do part three next week. But so I just flipped this guy over because I kind of like this guy. And this is part two of three. So here we go. To live without being deceived. To be deceived means to believe something that's not true. To be misled or deluded. Tricked, duped, hoodwinked, taken in. Fooled. Lied to, tricked, set up, swindled, and there's a whole bunch more. Now, most of us are so egocentric that we think we cannot be fooled. We can't be tricked. And yet, there's a lot of treachery going on. In order to live assured that you are not being deceived, we learned last week that we need to recognize the sources of deception. Who are they? What are they? Recognize the deceivers. And so last week we covered the eight fundamentals. Number one, Satan, we'll come to him in a moment, is a deceiver. There are evil spirits who seek to deceive. There are false prophets. There are false teachers. There are fake Christians, believe it or not. And we're going to come to that one. That's this more deception about God takes place from the misrepresentation of those of Him by those who confess Him. You know, the Scripture says that we are epistles seen and read of all men. People look at our lives and we call ourselves Christians, so that understand that when that happens, their perception of God comes from us. Yeah. Now, multiply that deception by the number of hypocrites in the world, or in the church. By the way, the best place for a hypocrite is in the church. Did you know that? You can't be a good hypocrite if you don't go to church. Right? You're not too sure of that, huh? But hypocrites are very valuable people, as you know. For starters, a hypocrite is a proof that there's a real thing somewhere. You can't copy something that doesn't exist. There are no counterfeit $3 bills. If you find a counterfeit 20, you know there's some real 20 somewhere. The hypocrite is proof that there is the real thing. They also demonstrate that Christianity is worth imitating. The problem is, life does not line up with profession. And you have to simply know this to be true. That the man who throws away his real 20s because somebody's printing some phony $20 bills, that guy's crazy. And the person who says, I'm not going to Christian because there are too many hypocrites, he's already been tricked. The person who says, I don't go to church because there are too many hypocrites there, only proves that the hypocrite's closer to God than they are. Yeah. We're going to come to how to deal with fake Christians. Another source of deceit is evil men. And they do this in numerous ways. We'll cover it, not today. They do it financially. You can be financially... I don't know when there was a more volatile market condition than right now for treachery. And of course, there's evil women. And this is the hardest one to deal with. Scripture says, don't deceive yourselves. So we have to recognize these sources of deceit. What we want to do today, though, is we want to start down the list. Begins with recognizing the sources of deception and who the deceivers are. And now what we need to learn is how to act on biblical instruction in respect to each source of deceit. And that is our task this morning and next Sunday as well. And if I can't finish it next Sunday, I will hang it over until the Wednesday following. Because we really just have to, in this month of December, I'm so excited that we're going to spend the rest of December on Jesus. The real Jesus. You see, our problem today is people are seeking the Jesus they want him to be instead of the Jesus that he is. And we're going to rightly divide that, clearly. And we're going to have glimpses of the real Jesus. I don't think there's a better way to enter into this time of year when the world seems to have chosen a specific location, time, rather, to celebrate his birth. Well, what we must do is to begin today is to learn to act on the biblical instructions that have to do with each source of deceit. And so we begin with Satan. So take a look at the scripture. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. So you can call him a serpent. You can call him a dragon. You can call him and Satan. And look at what he does. He deceives the whole world. Now, of all of the deceivers, except maybe self, he is the greatest deceiver of them all. The scripture says that he deceives the whole world. This is pretty big time stuff. Now, our ego wants us to think that he cannot trick us. Like, the devil's going to outsmart me? And when we think the devil cannot outsmart us, we've already been outsmarted. He's a deceiver of everybody. So, look what he does. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And whom the god of this world, another word for Satan, has blinded, not the eyes, but he's blinded the minds. People who cannot receive the facts, the reality, the truth of Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary have minds that have been blinded. And then we learn this, let Satan get an advantage of. And this is what we want to be true, that we are not ignorant of his devices. And the next verse the verse before talks about forgiveness. And so he tricks us. So how do we overcome satanic deception? Here we go. You ready to go? Number one, you need to be serious about the devil. This is not a laughing matter. This is not the little guy cute in a red costume with a pitchfork in his hand and horns coming up the top of his head. He's not a cartoon character. There is nothing nice about him. He is the personification of evil. And to not be serious about him is a big, big, grave mistake. He wants to steal from you. Any stealing been going on lately? He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He is your adversary. Watch this now. So the scripture says you need to be sober. You need to be serious about him because he is your adversary, the devil. And he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, there's some fundamentals you do not want to make a mistake about. Let me name a couple of them. God is good and the devil is bad. You don't ever want to mistake that. God is right, Satan is wrong. You don't want to make a mistake about that. And what's going on in this world? Let me say it at a more personal level. What's going on in you? Is good and evil are clashing on the battlefield of your mind. Here's the good news. You get to decide who wins. For to whom you yield yourself, servant, to obey. Yes, servant, you are. So, if you're going to overcome deception that comes from Satan, you need to be serious about the subject. And then you need to be vigilant. Now, the devil's a dirty devil. He knows no battlefield ethic. In fact, he has no respect for age. He intrudes, killing, destructive, and stealing from babies. You don't have any qualms about that. He wants that baby to have no father. That's what he wants. That's the kind of stealing he does. And he's been so effective that 42% of all children in America are raised without a father physically present in the home. He doesn't care that your child is only three. He has no scruples, has no honor, has no code of ethic. And that means that we, if we're going to stop his deception, have got to be on our guard all the time. Now, I don't want to take you in a sidetrack too far on in respect to the rules of warfare and the engagement, and but the enemy tactic is to attack wherever we are the weakest. He exploits weaknesses. People get damaged. As children, as teenagers, even as adults, get damaged. Damage creates a weakness. And this devil is going to make the damage that happened to you when you were 10 last your whole life. Because he exploits. So be on your guard. Be a forgiver. Forgive everybody all the time, every time. We mentioned this before, but it would be I would be less than faithful if I didn't reiterate. This is a critical point. Watch here now. We are not ignorant of his devices, and the verse before this has to do with forgiving your offender, because if we do not forgive our offender, Satan gets an advantage of us. Let me illustrate this. Be angry, but don't sin. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, wrath is a mental condition, an attitude, or an action because you're angry at somebody for what they did. It's a get back. And sometimes we don't walk up to the person and slap him. That would be wrath. But mentally and emotionally, we slap them. We cuss them. We disparage them. We talk about them. Now watch. I don't want you to miss this truth. Don't let the sun go down on that. Don't take your anger to bed with you. Now you do. Surely you don't think God put this in there just for something to say. Whenever we are offended and we don't deal with it before the sun goes down, and we take it to bed with us, something happens to us that night while we sleep. Let me tell you what happens. The anger and the bitterness. Are you ready? I'm going to use a word that I might have to explain it, but anger and the bitterness and the bitterness set. Not unlike I had somebody in my home this week putting some plaster on the wall. Don't touch it for at least 24 hours. Let it set. It has to harden. It has to set. When God says, don't take your anger and your bitterness and your resentment to bed, he's giving you wisdom that could come from no other. Because he knows that if you violate this principle, and the sun goes down upon your wrath, and you take it to bed with you, you don't even know what's going on, but when you get up next morning, that thing has set. And you'll have it the rest of the next day. And you'll have it the next night. And you'll have it the next day. And the next week. This. So, I don't know if you got this straight. The devil has a plan for your life. Satan has a plan for your life. He will lie and tempt and trick and deceive and manipulate to get his plan happening in you. And you may not even know what's going on. You cannot have mental health without being a forgiver. That response, wrong response, which is so common today, it's everywhere. That's why Jesus was so clear. I mean, this is not something that's fuzzy in the Bible. He says, bless them that curse you. Do good to them, do evil to you. Bless and curse not. Treat that person just the same. What glory is it if you greet your brothers? We will do that. He even included, we sung it this morning, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. This is such a serious devil trick. You want to be a forgiver. Because watch this now. Whenever we don't let the sun go down on our wrath, but carry it to our unconscious state where it foments, we're actually giving place to the devil. And you're sound asleep. Well, maybe not so sound. And that brings up the next one. Don't give place to the devil. Maintain a zero tolerance. Zero. Zero. No place, no territory, no room in your mind, no room in your heart, no room in your spirit, no room in your emotions. Give him no place in your home. Give him no place in your marriage. Give him no place in your children. Give him no place in your family. Give him no place in your business. Give him no place. Because he's the enemy. And he comes to steal and kill and destroy. I love this about Jesus. He said, and this is another name for Satan, by the way, the prince of this world, came at Jesus. And I love this. He's found nothing in me. That no raw material he could capitalize on, see? No hidden motive, no covert intent. Nothing. Give him zero space. Now, you want to stay in a power relationship with God. In fact, a right relationship with God has a conveyance to you of power. Right? Greater is he that's within you, right? But people get out of the power relationship with God. Oh, they do some religious things and say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Well, So does the devil believe in Jesus. So comes now the scripture, because as you'll see, the context is it has to do with dealing with the devil. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now watch this. And in the power of His might. I love this. In a power relationship with God, you get to function with the power supplied to you by God. So, why would you have any fear? Worry. Worry? Come on. Anxiety? There is nothing in your life that you plus God cannot handle. But you have to stay in the power relationship with God. Can God flow through me? Can He use me? Let me tell you what the three pieces of equipment you get when you are in a power relationship with God. You don't want to miss this. Write this down. Number one, you get to use the authority of Jesus' name. Whoa! In the name of Jesus, you get to use that. That's your basis for authority. So number one, you get the authority of Jesus' name. Number two, you get the power of the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Whoa. We sing it, and wonderfully, and so we should. The blood that Jesus shed shall never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and reaches to the lowest valley. And the power of that blood conveyed to you was part of your power relationship with God. You got something that needs to get cleansed out of your life? Ooh, you got it. Thirdly, now watch this. You get the authority of using Jesus that comes from using Jesus' name. You get the power that's in the blood and the function of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, you get the direction from His Word. Authority, power, direction. That's why the scripture comes along. And so delightfully, that's what it says. They that put their trust in the Lord shall never be confounded. Now, it would certainly be wonderfully happy times if we could just start, divert right now and just pitch into those three things. Because each of them, you know, that's why I appreciate you who come to this church. You're not attracted by the smoke and mirrors because there are none. It isn't the backup band or the show that you come for. Listening invisibly to us are over 170 people right now on the internet. And they're to be commended. Because one of the primary functions for which we gather is to get armed so we can be dangerous to the devil. So we can spoil his function in our lives and those around us. You come here because, and it certainly is not because of me. Or that might not be true. My wife might come because of me, because I could pull rank, I suppose. I don't know if that would even work. I've tried it. You don't come here for personality, showmanship. You come here because you understand the intrinsic value and worth of learning God's Word. So don't forget, stay in the power relationship with God. And the next verse says this: put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able, look at this now, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, watch this now. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Right? That's staying in the power relationship with God. Put on the whole armor of God so you can be able to stand against the wiles. Look at this word, wiles. Out of the dictionary, it means devious, cunning strategies. That's what he's like, dirty devil. He's always working on. And listen, you're going to find out in a few moments, he has helpers. And they work on devious, cunning strategies to your downfall. That's what wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against these cunning, devious strategies. Little English problem. The actual plurality of strategy is stratagem, but you got it. Keep your armor on all the time. Now it goes on after this to list the armor, remember? What's the first piece? Your loins gird about with the truth. First piece, the loins. Your reproductive organs need to be protected with the truth about them. Need the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and above all, taking the shield of faith by which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. He can keep them coming at you, but it is going to work because the shield. Keep your armor on all the time. Now, this goes back to the teaching of our beloved member, Mark. Never get cocky. Crucify your ego, because your ego doesn't have the stuff, substance, that enables you to make wise decisions. It's going to trick you. We're going to get to that way down the line here. It's going to make you think that the smart decision is something that makes you more pompous and feeds your ego. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And watch, this is really delightful. The next verse says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And number 9, resist the devil. God resists the proud, but He gives grace. What is grace? Knowledge and power to do what's right. Submit to God. Resist the devil. and he will flee. So let's summarize this. Humility, watch this now, is what enables you to submit to God. The proud cannot, do not, will not submit to God. It takes humility. It takes humility to conclude that what's in here is smarter than what's in here. Pride makes you think that what's in here is smarter than what's in here. Pride is the fastest way to stupidity. So this scripture comes along, said God resists the proud, he gives grace. The humble gives the knowledge and power to do what's right to the humble. That humility is what qualifies us to be yielded to God. Yielded to God now enables us to resist Satan. Remember, we maintain the power relationship with God. Now watch this. This is so good. Humility is the condition of our spirit that enables us to yield to the superiority, yea, the intellectual superiority of God. And then because we're in our power relationship, we resist the devil, and look what happens. Satan flees. Hallelujah. You have the ability to send him packing every time. Get out of my house. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my children. Get out of my life. Get out of my mind. Get out of my spirit. Get out of my heart. You have no place in me, Satan. You're done. And God has endowed you with the ability to overcome satanic deception all the time, every time, by simply following these simple instructions. I'm going way too slow. How many can say till three? One. In the book of Revelation, we learn that sometimes temptation can last for up to 10 days. When you win, even if it takes 10 days, but it shouldn't. Get these notes out, do this stuff, it will work instantaneously. Satan, after the 10 days, Revelation says, goes away. But my recommendation is not that you wait and endure 10 days of temptation before he goes away. Because you deal with him in real time, immediately. All the time. Amen. Now, how do we deal with spirits? The great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil, which is Satan, which deceives the whole world. And he was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, there are only four archangels named in the Bible. I don't know very much about Apollyon the fourth. But there is Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. These were the God runs a heaven on a hierarchy of structure. An organizational structure, if you please. And Lucifer, who became Satan. And how did he become Satan? Because he turned to iniquity. Had one third of the angels followed him. They chose their loyalty over him to their loyalty over God. Big, big mistake. So when Lucifer said, I will be exalted above God. Well, careful now. You don't think there are people who do that? Who put their opinions above God? They do the same thing Lucifer did. I will ascend into heavens. I'll exalt my throne above the throne of God. I'll be the boss. You're not God. I will take over your position. And that's described as iniquity, being unequal to your role under a sovereign God. And these angels bought into that scheme. Now watch. In heaven, when this occurred, in the heavens, when this occurred, there was such rebellion that God would not, did not, and wisdom said he could not allow Lucifer and those angels the abilities, the skills, the access that they had. They got fired. They were cast down to a limited sphere called the earth. And by the way, what's going on in this life right now? It's a contest to see who will you follow. Now, there's a lot of people who don't live for the devil, but they live like the devil. They bought into the same deal. I'm smarter than God. I'm taking over my life. Whatever I've got, I'll do what I want with my wife and my children. And they become little devils, just like the devil. Microcosm. Now, there isn't any of us getting out of here alive. Everybody's going to leave here one day. It's appointed unto man, wants to die. And after that, judgment, adjudication, right? So, what's being verified now in this life on this planet is whether I or you will live like God under his lordship or like the devil. And those who choose to reject the orderly, wise, intelligent plans, ways of the God of the entire universe will not be able to participate with him in his plan. And so at that adjudication, a new casting down takes place. An Alcatraz of eternity has been designed. It's called hell. Place of confinement. Place of restriction. You can do your own thing, but you can't hurt the rest of the universe. Because, beloved, I don't know when we can get to this, but it needs to be soon. Do you have any idea what God has prepared for those that love him and keep his commandments? Do you have any idea what your future is? Hymn writers have written about it. Remember, you given eternal life forever. Oh, good start. A different kind of body that confuses scientists. They would like to be able to do this now, but they can't. You'll have a body that can materialize anywhere you think to be. You really don't think you're going to heaven at the speed of light, do you? It'll be so slow, it's going to take you a few million years. You're going to be equipped. Listen to scripture. Am I getting off track? I'm so sorry, but I'm feeling good about it. So, there are two kinds of bodies in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. Remember? This terrestrial shall put on the celestial.
Oh!
This mortal shall put on immortality. We're going out of here and we shall be changed. And this change is so beyond my speech, my capability, my grasp, my comprehension, because it includes a participation with the eternal God and his eternal plan for the entire universe, and I'm a part of that. And so will you be, for he that is faithful unto death shall receive this crown of life. There's more to life than 70 years on this planet. This is merely a trial, a test zone. And God wants to come and take you from here. Graduate you. Because Jesus put it this way. He that believeth in me shall never die. For I am the resurrection and the life. What an understatement for the hymn writer to sing that and give us the words of that song. It's true, but what an understatement when he says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face.
All sorrows for the race. So brave you run the race till we see Christ.
Understatement. The glory of heaven does not consist in simply leaving behind earth. The glory of heaven is a great place of reward. Listen to the words, right from the words of Jesus. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'm making you ruler over many. Sorry. Back on track. Oh my. Turn the clock back. Well, his angels were cast out with him. There are different kinds of spirits. We reviewed that. There are familiar spirits. They've been around a long time. They know the history, your family history. They know all kinds of stuff. And I am very tempted to have a Wednesday night. I don't know when I can do it. And we need to deal with biblical understanding of horoscopes and the works of these spirits. Not to expose you to evil, to make it simple concerning that which is good in regards to them. There are seducing spirits, there are evil spirits. So how do we overcome these deceptive spirits? And number one, we must begin with a questioning, doubtful attitude. Now, before you say you have no experience with spirits, let me explain at a primary level so that you know that you do. If you think you don't have to deal with evil spirits, you've already been deceived. So follow with me. I says now. Behind every thought is a motive. Behind every motive is a person. Behind every thought, something produced a thought. Thoughts just don't. Behind the thought, somebody. The motive. Behind a thought, there's a motive. Behind a motive, there's a person. Do you really think that all the thoughts that come to you that have to do with doing evil, that they originated in you? Spirits. Now, so what's the communication medium? I carry around with me an app. That measures the decibel rating in the room or somebody's voice. Loud, shows on the meter. You will not pick up the voice of a spirit with a decibel meter because it's not an audible. How does it get to you? This is beyond science at the moment. They may catch up. You are a spirit. Remember, there are only four kinds of spirits, right? God spirit, angelic spirits, demonic spirits, human spirits. You're a spirit. You live in a body. You have the capacity to think and feel, but you are a spirit. That's the part of you that is non-physical. You are a spirit. So here comes the scripture now and says, what knows the spirit of man save the spirit of man which is in him? There is this dimension of the spirit world. Denying it doesn't eradicate it. Doesn't dismiss it. And people are bombarded by these fallen angels, these evil spirits who have joined Lucifer. They speak. How? Directly to your spirit. Spirit to spirit. And then in your spirit, you start thinking about it. It becomes a thought, but it got there because spirits communicate to you. And now comes the scripture. It says, believe not every spirit. They don't tell the truth. We have to have mechanisms by which we overcome the deception that spirits come at us with. I've been to Haiti 4 times. One of those trips, I have to tell you, it was shocking to my whole system. I walked streets of Port-au-Prince in the middle of the night and watched people sleeping in gutters, like rats running over their body while they slept. It's horrible. I walked through their homestead areas where a little shack about 8 or 10 feet square was about 3 feet away from the next guy. The street's only 3 feet wide, and there's a ditch down the middle with a little bit of water that's hardly running, and that's where everybody has to do their toilet. And I asked myself, how does this get in this condition? How did it get like this? And so I went to the outskirts of a thatched roof that night and viewed peeking over the bleachers. And I watched a voodoo meeting. And I saw. Now we speak of the anointing of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I saw people get anointed by the devil. Get down on their knees with goats and doo-doo and rub their face in the doo-doo. Kissing the goats, giving the goats alcohol to drink. The rhythm of the music, a lot like contemporary music of the day, was driving the scene. I watched a man, because the thatched roof was held up by a center pole. And I watched this man, under the movement of the drums and the evil movements of the spirits, lean over, put his head against, because what was holding up this pole was a series of rocks cemented together that were about maybe 4 feet off the ground. And he put his head on the rocks and turned around backwards with his head back on the rocks. And I watched him bounce all around, his head bashing against the rocks. He bounced all the way around there. I saw people do things inspired by the devil. Now back here in sophisticated American style, we say, oh, we don't have any devils. We got a lot of them. You don't think young men and young women do what they do uninfluenced by demons? So, if we are going to stop the deception that they seek over us, we got to start with, don't believe what they say. Instead, try the spirits. Try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Wow. How do you do that? You know what? By their view of Jesus. This is why the rest of this month we're going to get to this Jesus. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. If a spirit confesses the right, accurate Jesus, ooh. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about at Christmas time, right? This is the greatest event in human history. And the devil wants it denied that God came here. That's it. He didn't come in the flesh. You evil spirit. You know. By the way, you can tell the condition of a lot of people, but it's by what do they say about Jesus? Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily in him we live and move and have our being. And if they are not under the lordship of Christ, then they have the spirit, which is Antichrist. Now watch this. There are only two positions on this planet. I am either for Christ or against him. To deny him is to be against him. To ignore him is to be against him. And this is the combat zone. It takes place in every mind and heart. God versus Satan. Christ. The Spirit of Christ versus the Spirit of Antichrist. That's why to ignore him is to be against him. To deny his position as divine God, Lord, is to be against him. Now, it's interesting. This is the next verse. Because you're going to need confidence in doing this. No vacillating back and forth. So let's just back up here now. Every spirit that confesses Jesus is in the flesh, come from God. Every spirit confesses not, is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. But ye are of God, little children. Now watch this. And you have overcome them. Who's the them? Verse before. Those spirits that deny Jesus, God, actually came here in the flesh. I want you to breathe a big sigh of relief right now. God wants you confident. You can overcome them all the time, every time. And here's why. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. You want to develop what's called the discerning of spirits. It's a manifestation of God's Spirit. And notice this. It's given to every man for your profit, to profit with. And then it goes on and it lists a number of them. And one of them is this ability to discern spirits. To discern means to understand, comprehend the spirit that's behind a sentence, a statement, an action, a motive. So develop discerning of spirits. And then exercise your authority over evil spirits. Remember your equipment. You get the authority of his name. You get the power of his blood and of the spirit. And you get the direction from his word. And Jesus comes along and says, I'm giving it to you. You've got the power. And you can tread on serpents and scorpions. These are analogically evil spirits. And over all the power of the enemy. Now watch this, because this is so glorious. And nothing shall hurt you. That's not what it says. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now these people go around saying, I'm hurt. That is so the spirit of Antichrist. You cannot be hurt. When we respond to what other people do to us that may be attempting our damage and our hurt, we never lose. We cannot lose because greater is he that's within us than he. The enemy hasn't got a chance with us. And so we don't walk around being fragile, sensitive. No, I wasn't always like this. When I was younger, everybody hurt me. And now I laugh. Now I have conversations. I can tell you conversations this week where people, and I'm nice back. And it's not pretended. Nobody, because you belong to God, can be allowed to push your button and make you react other than in a godly fashion. We belong to him. He is my Lord and Master. When he says, if somebody does something, curses me, I will bless him. Why does God? Let me tell you something. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is why the scripture says that you are more than conquerors through him. We're talking about the scripture that says he always causes us to triumph. How many times? All the time. Nobody can by any means hurt you. Now, this is really good news, and you probably saw that I'm kind of rejoicing over it. So here I am getting a rebuke. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Don't make it such a big deal, because there's a bigger deal. There's something worth a whole lot more shouting than this. This ought to be so common to the normal Christian, conquering of evil spirits. Because we try them, we find out that we don't believe them. Or if they're under they confess Jesus Lord, but fine. Because there are angelic spirits functioning on the planet, ministering angels. And they give you some good thoughts to put it in your spirit. So here's the good news. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice. It's your names that are written in heaven. Hallelujah.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.